Okay, so I think that one of the most defining moments in your life is when you came here to this country, right? Am I right in saying that? Yeah. Okay, so with regards to that immigration, I just have a few questions. So first, why did you choose to leave one country and come to another one?
I mean, at that time there was a rush of people coming to the US for better prospects, you can say, compared to what you have in India.
When you say better prospects, you mean like job?
I mean, where I was in India, it was a good job, but this was in software, and I wanted to do something. I mean, I basically got myself validated that, you know, I am good at software. So after that only I decided to come over here. So obviously, I mean, you know, compared to what I was, the lifestyle in India, of course, I was thinking, yeah, it would be a better lifestyle here. Yeah. That's why.
So what about the lifestyle in India made it bad or unsuitable to your liking?
So, I mean, India, it's always, I mean, in the sense that it was a struggle trying to, I mean, the overall environment wasn't that good as compared to what it is here, right? I mean, a daily rush, going, you know, taking trains in rush hours. I mean, it was a struggle as such.
So you didn't feel that
It's
starting.
not easy. I mean, in the sense that the lifestyle in US is much easier as compared to what it is in India.
So what year did you come here again?
In 97.
97. So how do you feel life was when you first got here as opposed to what it is today?
It's the same. I mean, things haven't changed, but I mean, at that time, financially, I would say we were better, though we were earning less. Because now we have much more liabilities, so that's what it has changed the equation. Otherwise, yeah, so that's why it was more enjoyable then than now.
Okay, so I'll get back to that later. But so you just get here in 97,
Yeah, September of 97.
September 97. So what was your biggest challenge? Like, what did you find was the most challenging part of just getting used to a whole new way of life?
Yeah, so first thing was that when I came to US, I was told that I should be knowing the three C's, that is computers, cooking, and cars. Right? So these are the three C's that they were told. So computers and cooking was okay. I mean, cooking I learned a little bit before coming here. But cars, I had never driven a car in India. So that was one thing which I was not sure whether I will be able to do it. And that's the reason why I had not even resigned from my job in India when I came here for almost 6 months. So when I came here, I got my driving license in a couple of months, and then I started driving, and I found it's not that bad. So then I was forced by my Indian employer to resign, because either come back or resign. So obviously, since I had now decided to settle down here, so I resigned from that job.
So to summarize, so you think the biggest challenge was driving?
Yeah, basically getting used to that, because that is one thing that is necessary here, especially in New Jersey. there was a lack of, I mean, even today also, public transport is not, the mode of transport that you can rely on. You have to have your own mode of transportation, and which is obviously having a car.
So I guess, yeah, that could be viewed as a challenge.
Yes, that would be a challenge.
Yeah, that would be a challenge, but I'm trying to ask more so about, like, culturally, like, socially, more so than logistically.
Okay, socially, I mean, for me, socially, I don't know whether it was much of a challenge, because I'm anyway a person, you know, who doesn't mind whatever be the situation. I take it up and I try to adjust. So socially, I don't think so. It was much of a challenge. For many people that is a big challenge, but I don't think so it was much for me.
Why is that?
Because that's the way my personality is. I mean, whatever situation you are in, because when I came here after, you know, deciding whether, you know, I should come, and only after that, like, I almost took a year or more than that. Almost 2 years before I validated myself. I decided that whether it is a good thing to come here or not, and then only I came here.
Okay, so you say that coming here, or you say that living here was not much of a challenge, right, according to you?
No.
But you just said that deciding to come here was a challenge.
Yeah.
So why do you think that making that decision was harder to do than to actually partake in the action?
Yeah, because, I worked for 18 years there. You know, I had a lifestyle of mine, you know. So giving that up and then coming here, you know, in a new place, obviously, you know, unless you are not sure that, you know, this is where you finally want to settle down or whatever, because I don't like to look back once, you know, to take a step forward, you know, rather, okay, let me try it out here. If not, so, I mean, I did that, trying out for a few months till I was, I confirmed that, okay, you know, driving is no more an issue with me. So that's and because I have an eyesight issue, so that was also one of the challenges, because of which, you know, I didn't know whether driving would be possible or not. But that also was cleared when, you know, my eyesight happened to be just borderline enough to allow me to drive in this country.
Yeah. I've seen you driving. Makes sense. Okay, so I just want to know, like, what was the thought, like, you didn't really say much about the thought process, like, it took you 2 years to decide that you actually want to come here, and even then you were still wavering, right, like, you didn't resign.
Yeah.
So, what was going on during those 2 years, like, what specifically made it take 2 years to make that decision?
So first thing is that, you know, I had a job as an electronic engineer, and it was a very cozy job, nice 9-to-5. You know, I mean, I could do my studies while I was working there. Everything was good. So definitely it was a complacent job, and steady, getting promotions, regular promotions, everything was nice. So what happened is my brother-in-law, he was in US for a number of years, and he had his own company, and he asked me that, you know, if you wanted to come. So my first thing which I had to decide was whether I am, you know, because as part of my job there, I had done software programs, but very small ones, you know, just trying out. Like, we had an Apple IIe there, and, you know, we used to work on that. So, like, that Apple IIe did not have what do you say, I don't know what was the reason that whenever the power, we used to unplug it from the power, all the program used to go. So, you know, nothing remained. So we used to, every time we had to start it, retype the program, and it was basic programming that time in Apple. You do that. And so, I mean, I saw that I have an aptitude for computer software, but yet, you know, you come to a country and, you know, because obviously I have to give up a 18-year job if I have to come here. So unless I'm sure that it's a firm step, I don't want to give up. Otherwise, you know, getting the job again may be a problem. So I spent a year and a half. I got myself certified in software technology. I got a post degree, postgraduate diploma in software technology. That gave me the confidence that, okay, yes, I can do software. And because that's what I was going to come here and do day in, day out. That would be my livelihood. So once I got myself validated, that's when I said, okay, now I can go. But then the other hurdle was the driving aspect, because I never driven a car before, and my eyesight issues. So yeah, that was the main criteria.
Okay. So, you know, you're talking a lot about your career, right? Like, you, even though you had fixed promotions and this and that, you still wanted, you know, more salary, I'm presuming, right? More better job opportunities, so on and so forth, right?
Yeah.
So to take a more philosophical tone now, right? Mm-hmm. So do you think that, I mean, I think it's fair to say that most of the people who come to this country do so to find more success, right? So from what you said so far, the reason you came to this country was the same reason, you know, you wanted a better job, right? So in your opinion, do you view success as having a good job, or at least working to get a better job, or is there something else that defines success for you?
Yes, success is, yeah, when you grow in your job and, you know, you are not going down, right? You know, every day you are coping up with the requirements. I mean, so especially in our field of the software technology and information technology, I mean, every day the scenario changes, new softwares keep coming, you have to learn. And I have coped up with that right till today. I mean, it's now like 20 years plus, and yet I am surviving in this market even with so many, I mean, now even it's becoming even more and more faster. The changes are happening even more faster than what when we came in. So it's because probably the computer hardware is also becoming faster, and the number of software applications and areas are growing with time. So yeah, that's what makes it even tougher. But I mean, that was what helped me, because now, since I knew that I have the aptitude for software, you know, programming aptitude, that's why I can survive for so many years. Otherwise, that would have been a challenge. So I did take the right step, and I would say I am successful in my career. I mean, definitely. Otherwise, I mean, because I am satisfied with what I am doing, that's what helps me carry on for so long. Otherwise, it would have been pretty, I would say, disastrous. Because yeah, in this country, if you do not have a job to keep yourself, yeah, it is pretty painful.
So you say you're successful in your career, right? And mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that success is reflected in where you are, or rather how much you've accomplished? Like, is success about the journey, or is it about the destination? Because a lot of people think that it's about the destination, you know, probably including myself. I'll subscribe to that view. For me, it's okay, where you get, that's about how, that reflects how successful you are. But from what you're seeming to say, it's more about the steps that you take to get to that place, right? So what are your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, if you measure success by how you have risen, in that sense, I don't think so. I have been successful in that sense. But for me, success is trying to stay in this field for so long, you know, and competing with the young generation who is coming along and yet, you know, able to survive. That's what I feel is my success. And doing better at it. It's not like, I mean, people look at me for expertise, so that's what makes me a success. But when immigrants come here on an H-1 visa, that stigma always hangs around as compared to people who study here and get jobs. So for them, I mean, those people can rise much faster as compared to, so when we come on H-1s, we get, because of the layers in between the jobs, between the employers and us, you know, so we are always get much lesser salary as compared to. And then the way it goes in America is whenever you go for a job, they always see how much was your previous salary, and based on that, they determine what they should give you. Though you might qualify for much better, or somebody equivalent might be getting much higher, even double, you know, but yet they will pay only what they think that you can, you know, you should, since you are okay with, say, 50K, they will just offer you 51K. That's it. Though somebody with your same qualifications and experience is getting 100K. So that's how things go, and that stays with you for a lifetime. It doesn't go away. So even if you get, like, if you do your MBA or something, and, you know, you try to do it afterwards, but if you have gone through that H1 channel, yeah, that's it. That's, you are stuck in that. So I don't see me coming out of that. So for me, success would be only trying to, you know, survive in this market.
Okay. So, you know, you mentioned that you were competing a lot with younger generations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the market is so competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking from, you know, your own experience, do you think that younger generations have different views of success? And do you think that these views of success are better or worse?
I mean, so the thing about it, I mean, the circle that I am mostly going through are also all immigrants. So from that perspective, they are also going through the same struggle. So I don't think so there it really makes. Yeah, but I'm just now like coming across the others, like the newer generation, like who are non-immigrants. And yes, for them, like, because they are born and brought up, mostly all of them, so for them it's a different ball game. It's not like the same like us. So I don't know, we can't really do a comparison.
Why is that?
Yeah, because for that generation who is studied here, yeah, obviously for them it's, I mean, they are not as dedicated as compared to somebody like us, because we had to be. We had no alternative because we have come here now so far. We have given up our whatever we had down in our country and we came here. So now we have to stick around. And that's also why most of the employers take advantage of, because they know that these guys have nowhere else to go. They are going to stick around whatever you pay them. So So, you know, so that's also one of the reasons. Whereas the younger generation of today, I mean, they are here. For them, this is their lifestyle. They have nothing to fall back. I mean, so they have learned to adapt and, okay, fine, you don't want to pay me, okay, I go somewhere else, right? I can find a job somewhere else. So that's what is happening.
So I think that has a lot to do with like how different generations have different core values, right? So yeah. I'd say that the older generations, like your generation, right, and even ones older than your generation, for them, loyalty in terms of family, in terms of employer,
mm-hmm.
means more than loyalty does today, right? Like if you look at the divorce rate, if you look at, you know, corporate sphere, if you look at, you know, turnover rate, it's much higher today.
Yeah.
Right. So, but you said that, because what you correlated the fact that there were younger generations to the fact that they studied here.
Yeah, mostly that's what is happening, because now U.S. is no more considered as a, no, it's no more attractive to come to U.S. anymore as an H-1, because things are changing. I mean, it's becoming less like conducive to come here and find something, because now, like, especially I know India now. India is also giving equivalent salaries and lifestyles in India itself. So why would somebody want to come to US and then struggle? And now that we have gone through all this, so obviously, you know, we tell people down in India that, you know, what lifestyle we are going through. So it's not worth. So that's why you don't find, at least, like new immigrants. I mean, yeah, generally, like, you are ready to take the step only when you know that what you are going to is a better place and better prospects. Otherwise, you are not going to go. Now, for India, now it's no more the case. So yeah, that has now reduced. So maybe there may be other countries from where people might be yet coming, because for them it makes sense. But not for Indians anymore.
So you're talking a lot about like countries and different places where people come from, right?
Yeah.
So do you think that the place in which someone is born matters more than when they were born? Like, do you think the differences between different regions and different countries are more pronounced than differences between generation?
Yeah, it is.
So why do you think that? Because like, I personally disagree.
I mean, so like for example, I see like a lot of most of the immigrants who are coming through. I mean, at my time, mostly in the software industry, because I'm in that industry, so I know only about that. So in the software industry, Indians, then from Pakistan, a lot of Pakistanis used to be there, and also Russians. I've seen a lot of Russians too, who have been migrating to US for the software industry. So these are the three main players which I have been seeing on a regular basis, right? So, I mean, all of us, the reason was the same, because all these three countries, means this, I'm talking 20 years back, they were not as, I mean, US was really good. It was like a heaven. So obviously you would want it to come here. Today that's no more the case, right? I mean, Pakistan maybe even today also for them, but India has developed a lot in the past 20 years. So it's no more lucrative to come, especially in the IT, because a lot of IT jobs and people paying like almost like 10 to 15 times more salary as compared to what I was getting then. So, you know, it's a much better lifestyle there now. So yeah, it does make a difference from, so based on like the economy of the country, it doesn't make a difference like why a person would migrate or not. But now the thing is, I see that there are, especially in the IT field, that more there are, I mean, I don't see a lot of locals in that, Americans born and brought up. I mean, there are very few who are in this field. There are, but not much. So
would you say that, I mean, I think you would say that, rather, being a software engineer, you said, you know, it requires constant updating your knowledge, learning more, keeping up with the field, right?
Yeah.
So now you just said that there are not many Americans in this field, right? So do you think that this either reflects or is symptomatic of this problem of laziness or perceived laziness? Like, do you think that either this country or this generation is lazier than previous generations?
I wouldn't say lazy, but it's like effort to reward, right? I mean, the amount of effort that you need to keep up to this job is much more as compared to maybe other fields, right? So, I mean, if you come to the software industry today, you have to be ready to be, you know, putting a lot of effort and trying to keep up with the latest technologies from time to time. So there is no two ways about that. But I don't think so. The younger generation, they want, quick gratification. Mm. So they cannot, like, wait for things to, you know, take the course and then over time get rewarded. You know, that's something that does not happen in our industry. It's a very slow process, you know, like promotions and all. There is no such thing as that. Like, you know, I don't know whether in other areas also is the same thing in other industries, but at least in software, like, it's very difficult to you know, climb up the ladder unless you are really qualified and you come directly into that higher managerial levels,
which is difficult.
So growing up from the lower levels, like advisors and, you know, developers and all that, you know, team leads and all that, trying to become, coming up and then becoming VPs and directors, that's really slow. I mean, people take almost 20 to 25 years to climb up to that level. I have seen that. Whereas, I mean, those who are young and, like, you know, they do their MBAs and, you know, different things, they directly go into the managerial career and then they just go up. So that's why, you know, somebody who is, I mean, for the younger generation, they wouldn't have that patience to come and wait for 20 years to, you know, climb up and go to that level. I mean, so that somebody, an immigrant, only will be able to go through that, because, you know, for them that's the only option that they have. And since anyway they have no other fallback, so for them the only way is to put up with whatever is coming. And since anyway they had taken this decision to come here I don't think so I am the only person who would have taken so much time to think. There are most of the people also would be thinking twice before coming to this country.
So for during the last few seconds, right, I noticed you talked about immigrants. When you talked about them, you used the word they, right? Mm-hmm. Not we, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, obviously there's a lot going on with regards to immigration at the moment politically, but for putting that aside, you know, do you feel that you are American? Like, when someone asks you, you know, where are you from, right? Like,
yeah,
I understand you probably say India, but do you feel that you are a part of this American culture?
Yeah, I do. I mean, see, I told you, right? When I take a step, I don't look back. right? So for me, when I decided to come here, I mean, it was only if it was going to be something long term. Otherwise, I wouldn't have even have thought about it. So once I am now in it, so that's it. Now I became a citizen. I have a house of my own. Like, so this is my home now. I mean, I cannot even think about going back. So then for me, yeah, this is what it is for me for the rest of my life.
How did you just accept that? You know, yeah, that's kind of, it requires a lot of faith, right, and courage. How did you, to be honest, if I was in India, I don't think I would have had the courage to give up everything that comes with your country. I highly doubt that I'd be able to make that decision. So how did you do it? Like, how did you?
I mean, what is it? Finally, wherever you are, whether you are in India or US or China or any other place, I mean, what is it finally? You need a job, you need a home. So, and wherever that is, that's where you are. So, as I said, right, I mean, today, even at my age, I am yet, because I have job satisfaction, I am able to cope up with the current requirements in this industry. That's why I'm surviving. And since I am surviving, I don't mind it, right? So I can pull on. I mean I can survive, and that's what makes it. So finally, where you can survive, that's where your home is.
So for you, so you're saying most of the reason you're able to survive is because of job satisfaction. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, definitely. Because if this industry, like even for me, like so many new things are coming. I really want to do it, but somehow, like my current job does not, you know, it's like they are not as dynamic enough to, you know, jump into the newer technologies. Otherwise, I would find it really fun to work, even more fun than what I'm doing today. Today I'm, whatever I'm learning the newer technologies, I'm doing that on my own accord. It's not like for my job. My job is yet using 10 years or 15 years old technologies. But I myself keep myself abreast of all the new things. I try out things. I listen, I watch videos, I do a lot of, I train myself. Because tomorrow, if I need to, I am ready for it.
How would you tell, you know, people like me, your son? Because for the younger generation, I feel that, at least for me, it's very hard to kind of foster a sense of job satisfaction. Like, I feel like now people have become a lot more materialistic. Like, people have started caring a lot more only about monetary reward and the financial gain. So how did you, in your own life, you said you realized you had an aptitude for programming, but how did you take that aptitude and make it last over the course of your, and how did you take that aptitude and make it into an interest?
Oh, that's a tough question, but I mean, main thing is that the aptitude is the major thing, right? If you are, so every person has their own set of talents and aptitudes. So if you do not harness them, that's what is important, right? So like when you go to schools and colleges and like, say, I mean, yes, amongst Asian parents and all that, they do it differently in the sense that they try to force on their children their own passions or own things which they couldn't do. But the way it should be is that you expose the kids to everything. And finally, the kid should decide whether, you know, what they can make the best out of. Because if you do not have a passion for what you are, the field which you want to do, as well as you do not have the aptitude, it's going to be difficult for you to survive. So that's what you have to find. So you can always make things work, but then it will never be long lasting. So like, yeah, you might have a little bit of managerial skills, but if you do not have the actual aptitude, I mean, you might do copybook things like what you have been taught in college, just okay, how a manager should behave, all that you can always learn. But yet there has to be something inherent in you to really survive, because that's what is going to make you different from somebody. Because if you don't have that building, tomorrow you learn something, but when something which is out of the normal comes up, then it's your inner aptitude that will come to you to your rescue. Otherwise, yeah, you are stuck, and then it will be a failure.
So is there any way to, like, in your opinion, is there any way to, like, develop a passion for something, or is it just something that innately exists and you can't really do anything about it? Like, what if you can't find your passion? What do you do?
No, everybody is different, right? Everybody has something which you... So that's what you have to find. So I mean, how do you know you have a passion? I mean, if you do this, if you do that thing day in and day out and yet not get bored by it, that's what your passion is. So, I mean, if you do it today, you do it tomorrow, and then third day you say, oh, this is, I mean, I didn't like it. Definitely you don't have a passion for that. So it's like you have to like it in whatever way, whether you succeed or fail. Yet if you like it, that's what your passion is.
I guess that goes back to the idea of, you know, how my generation wants instant gratification, right? So even in failure, you still, if you have a passion for something, even during failure, you'll want to do it more, right? So I feel like for me, one of my biggest challenges was finding a passion, right? To this day, I still don't really know if I have a passion for anything, but I'm hoping I'll just figure it out. So, you know, how did you realize that, you know, you could, or rather, what happened when you realized that you could do software for the rest of your life?
Yeah, I told you, right? I mean, there are two things that happened. One thing was this Apple computer lab, you know, which we had sitting around in one corner, and like we one day decided, you know, let's start and see what we can do with it. And like we were writing, and like I could write programs every day I could write and make programs work. And like, I didn't know ABC of programming, but I just sat there and I developed programs. So obviously, unless you have that aptitude, you cannot do it. Right? And the good part was that since that never maintained the memory, so every day we had to rewrite the whole code. And for me, yeah, and the one more thing, like, you know, which I feel is very important, especially in the software industry, is typing. Like, when at a young age, when I finished my schooling, right, I got myself a certification in typing. So a proper typing, you know, touch typing as we call it. So that helped. I feel that is very important in the software industry, that you should be knowing typing. See, because rather than concentrating on where your fingers are going and what you are typing, you are now concentrating on the problem at hand. Like you are looking at the code on the screen, and you know, that is where your concentration is, not what. So typing is happening reflexively. You know, that is one thing out of the equation. So what you are mostly concentrating is in what the code is and how long, I mean, what is the problem at hand. So it helps me a lot in that as well. That is also one aspect. I mean, it's a small thing, but I'm sure it adds to it. It helps me in maintaining the interest.
So you're saying, you know, one part of finding or maintaining a passion is to eliminate everything that is redundant, not necessary, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, so just overall, are you are you kind of a deep question, are you happy with kind of what you've done and where you are? And with retrospect, you know, everything that's happened before.
So I mean, yeah, over the years, yes, I mean, personally, I mean, like, I'm able to maintain a house here. I have you, I mean, we brought you into the world. Now, you know, you're in college, you're doing well. So from considering all that, yes, it is success. But at the same time, I think we could have done better, definitely better. But because we really did not plan as such. I mean, we were frugal. I mean, you know, we're extravagant at times. Should have been a little careful. So yeah, now financially, it is a challenge. I think so. That's the only challenge that is there financially, and like I don't see us getting out of that. Yeah, it's going to be difficult
Okay. All right.
because you know, from I told you right when we came here, we had less salaries, but at the same time, you know, there are expenses. You have to, you know, in US, like, see, back down in India, we have our parents' home or something or the other, which, you know, so we don't have that expense. But when we here, we have to either pay for an apartment as a rent, or you have to, like, you know, pay mortgage, you have to have your own car, like more people, more cars, insurance, a lot of stuff. So nothing comes free. So everything you have to pay for. So in that sense, monetarily also you have to be doing good. But as I said, that because we came from the H1 stream, monetarily, you know, I mean, I'm not that, I mean, I am equivalent to Americans who are born and brought up here in this same thing. But I mean, yeah, I mean, it's considering that I don't have a master's or something from US, yeah, I am definitely comparable with others, even local Americans also. I have American colleagues who are born and brought up here, and I am equivalent to them in salary.
Right. So it's pretty good. I think we're done.